going to read the Mishnah first inside, and then the Rabbini on inside. Antigonus Isocho Kibo Meshimon Hatzadik. Antigonus, the man of Socho, received the tradition from Shimon the righteous. Huya Omer, he used to say, Altu Kivadim Hamasham Shemesarava Manastakal Pras. Do not be like the slaves, or servants, I should say, who serve the master on the condition to receive a reward. Rather, you should be like servants who service the master, not on the condition to receive a reward, whether, like, meaning, thank you so much. Whether you get a prize, you don't get a prize, you're not makbid, right? That's not how you enter it. You know, whatever happens, I just want to do what Hashem wants me to do. If I get a prize, great. If I don't get a prize, okay. And we end off by saying, V'himor Shemaim Lechem, and you should have Yerushalayim, should have fear of heaven. That looks like it's coming in out of nowhere, and so we have to figure out why that's even there. And that's why we have to figure out what we're saying in the first part of this Mishnah. Can you really have a relationship with God or anybody for that reason? They could just service them without really expecting a reward. Okay? So, human psyche. Now, I'm going to read the Rabbeinu Yonah. Because this is not a full-fledged service. Because he's not doing this for his Rav, except, rather, he's really doing it to receive the reward. Can someone explain what he's saying? I'm sure someone here can.
Could you repeat it?
Sure. The Ben Yonah says, She'ein zu avodah shleima. The reason why we shouldn't serve Hashem in order to receive a reward, because it's not full-fledged service. Because you're not really serving him. You're serving the prize. You're serving the reward.
Didn't you answer that last time?
We did.
Was that me?
In fact, I think he got the answer.
That's what I was saying.
He's bright. This one is bright. Let me put it to you this way. You get a job. Yeah? Why do you get a job?
To make money.
Right. Do you care about the company?
Not really.
No. Maybe the CEO does, because like he might be emotionally invested, but you don't care about the company.
Care about the money.
Right. If you were given $10 billion, you'd leave tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So, same thing with, if Hashem give you Olam Haba and say, you know, do whatever you want, I really don't care, go for it. Do whatever you want. None of us would, unless we thought about it, but without thinking about it, none of us would really have a connection with Kodesh Baruch Hu after that. So, exactly. So when you service Hashem for the reward, you're not really serving Hashem, you're serving the reward. Because the second the reward is gone, your service is just done for.
Right.
So you're not really serving Hashem, even though it looks like you are. Right? You look like a really loyal employee, but you're not. You're just a really loyal money lover. The second that money is out of the picture, all of a sudden you're not a loyal employee. Okay.
I mean, you're a loyal employee to get a raise, and that's money, right?
Right.
You can still feel invested in the job, the work you're doing.
I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just saying that there's
even
some...
Even if you're doing it for the money.
What?
Even if you're doing it for the money, you can still get pleasure from the work.
Oh, I totally agree with you, but I would say that that person is not totally doing it for the money. I'd say he's partially doing it for the reward. Honestly. If you're partially invested in the company, it's true. If the money was gone, you might leave. But it'd be difficult for you to leave.
Because you still have...
Yeah, you're a little bit emotionally invested. If someone... I know people that work both ways. They, like, they have their job, and they're workaholics, and they love what they do. But, like, if they get a decrease in pay, or if they know they're not going to get the raise, and another opportunity, like, opens up, they'll reluctantly leave, and they'll even cry, and, like, you know. But they'll leave. They'll leave, because they know money's somewhere else. And then there's people that they just go where the money is. Like, they have this really, like, top-tier job in the company that's paying them half as much as, like, the low-tier in another company. They don't care. They're gone tomorrow. That's what we're saying. So you're not wrong. We're just showing how the dynamic of the psyche works, that if you're working for one objective, you're really working for that objective. We're not saying that you can't get emotionally attached to what surrounds that. When you're worshiping Kodesh Baruch Hu from Olam Haba, you're going to have a relationship with him on the way, but the servitude is really dependent on the money or dependent on the reward. Once that's gone, you're gonna leave.
It's fine.
This is
unplugging.
Why knocking is
unplugging.
A good idea.
It's okay, I don't have that question.
Okay. The website makes sense?
The other one.
Yeah? I didn't say anything wrong. I can say stuff wrong. Did I say anything wrong?
No?
Okay, fine. This is important. You guys need to attack me more. I need to slip up more. I need to slip up more. Okay.
I got you.
There you go. Now I'm afraid. Elo havo kevadim ha-misham shemesarav ha-monas ha-kabapras. Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, continues, rather you should be like the servants who service the master on the condition not to receive reward. Now, we spoke about this a little bit last time. This is exactly where we left off. Okay? That the Rabbeinu Yonah has a different gear, so he has a different text. Okay? He has a different version of the text.
This side, I'm starting to remember this.
He says, not like our Mishnah that we have in front of us. Our Mishnah in front of us says, you should service Hashem, not on the condition to receive the reward. If you get the reward, you don't get the reward, you're either way. Rabbeinu Yonah says, no. You're supposed to service Hashem on the condition not to receive the reward. You approach the service of Hashem saying, Hashem, I don't want anything. I know you want to give it to me. I don't want anything. That's the condition you should come in with.
So what is it?
What?
So we're going to figure out what it is, not gratitude.
Okay. Wait, why can't it be gratitude?
I mean it could be gratitude, my bad.
Right. Okay. But it's no, you're not looking for...
I mean, I remember that. Even if you're getting a reward, it can still be gratitude. But
oh, so that's what I was about to say. Okay? There is... Ayn Rand wrote a paper that I really, really love about... because I thought it was just so true, and I was waiting for someone to say it, and she was gutsy enough to say it. She was Jewish. Okay?
Yeah.
She wrote about altruism. Altruism is just egoism. The only reason why you're nice is so...
Self-serving.
Exactly. It's all self-serving. Altruism is all self-serving. So you can say, I'm servicing Hashem because of my gratitude to Hashem, and the gratitude that I give him makes me feel really good. Meaning, you hear what I'm trying to say? Maybe I service Hashem because it just makes me feel good that I'm saying thank you.
I feel like that's a different argument. We're always trying to figure out what our real intentions are. We always have subconscious intentions for what we do.
Okay.
That doesn't change what the ideal intentions are. We're discussing now whether ideally you should do not what we trick ourselves.
I'm
about.
Saying people think, but I'm trying to tell you, Pirkei Avos people think is like a Moser book. It's not a Moser book. It's a halachic book.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually how you're supposed to do things. People forget this. But like this is the Mishnah is telling you, you really need to optimally try for this. Now I know it's far away, and Hashem's not going to hold you responsible for being far away when you start. But this should be your eye should be on this prize. I'm saying that even emotionally, you're supposed to be approaching the situation, and that's why I wanted to find this, because it's hard for me to, like, I always think you're getting something out of it. Just for the same reason why I don't think Jews specifically, or anybody who has half a brain, I don't think there's anything as unconditional love. I think that's just ridiculous. If you have a wife that does nothing for you, you won't love her. The reason why you're married to your parent, you have a relationship with your parents is because your parents gave you something to give you life. There's no unconditional love. I really hate that term.
You're saying that you can't do anything for another person, you're just doing it for yourself.
At some degree, correct.
What is it, though, when you are, like, if it's not love, when you like another person a lot who hasn't done something for you, that you haven't developed something?
Lost.
Like what? Upset. Okay.
Is it just
probably. I mean, you're thinking of a girl.
Yeah.
So it's probably lust. I don't see why not. Think about it for a moment. If you want, I love playing this game when I started reading.
You can value things about a person, but maybe not. You won't have extreme emotions towards them, no matter how good.
Give
me
an example. Why would you do something nice to somebody else?
If I've seen them in another setting and I value who they are.
And they're for what?
Therefore, I like them.
So you want to support them? Why?
I want to get something. Get something.
There you go.
Motive.
Telling parents.
That
all relationships are just mutual trade of benefits.
Of course they are.
Told you I'm not a psychopath.
No, that's exactly how life works. I think anybody who doesn't say it that way, no offense, you're a smart guy. It's not being honest. Okay.
That's so the way to apply that.
What?
To a lot of scenarios, or even when it seems like something is one-sided relationship, whichever one, let's say he's giving it but not getting. So he likes giving, feeling like it's exotic, and that's what he really needs. Like,
yeah, sure.
We can find something that is probably what's going on in his head. His subconscious that is what he's taking and everyone's taking.
Right. Now the question is, or rather the reality is that what do we want? So therefore what? Right? The thing that we're gonna want optimally is not us to service Hashem for the big Lexus. Our relationship with Hashem to be gratitude. Now we're still getting something out of that. but the reward is a lot less part of the relationship. I think that's what their venue is getting at, but we're going to define a little bit more as we go along. So let's keep reading.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah, sure.
Isn't there always a reward, though? Because think about it. By you breathing, by you moving, by you, it's all rewards, technically.
There's an outcome.
Sure.
Not necessarily a reward. It could be a bad thing.
By you breathing, it's, I mean, by you waking up, by you even living, it's just, it's all one, you're
getting... No, I understand. Lugabe, what? Well, how's the reward? I mean... I wake up and I breathe.
Existence is a reward. Is a reward.
That's so you were just mechavin to Rav Shlomo Carlbach. Uh-huh. Exactly what he said.
Family friend.
What?
Family friend.
Really?
Yeah.
He was very religious. He was a rabbi. Anyway, he cost us.
That was sarcastic.
Yeah,
it was not sarcastic at all. I always say that. I always say, if you look at me, if you ever see me in the basement, I should like ask someone a question. It's not like not a rough. But like, you look orthodox and ask you a question. I just want to be like, so Rav Miller is like your Rosh Kol. I'm like, yeah, he's really observant. Like, that's just how I talk. I'm sorry. This is my own shtick. Anyway, no, I mean it. So there's a great shiur like he gave that I thought was amazing. Where he talks about, I was like, you know, you start thinking Hashem the second that you are born. But he said a little bit better. He said, you're born a Jew. Hashem could have made you born a guy. It would have been a lot more difficult to have a connection with God that way. But God decided for you to be that fraction of a fraction of a fraction. You're even less than the statistical like anomaly in the Chinese population yearly. And you're part of that. Like, you're part of that small nation that has this list. Thank God every day for that. So, yeah. And Derbinio is going to touch on that actually also when he talks about, again, what's it's like, it's going to stem from appreciation to some degree. Or maybe not. Maybe we're going to find another way that you could actually service Hashem with no. Or maybe we're going to beat Ayn Rand. And we're going to find a completely altruistic thought. We'll see. Okay, anyway. No more questions? We can jump in? I think more stuff will be revealed as we go along. But you're welcome to ask. Yesh omrim she'en lavod d'shem almanah shelo l'kabel pras. There are those, Rabbeinu, that say that my gear says wrong. Rabbeinu says, there are those that say that my gear said that you have to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to not receive a replies, but dafka is a horrible thing. Okay? Ki in la'odim lasos a mitzvus al das shelo yelo pras alehim. Because it is not within man's psychology to service Hashem without receiving a reward. That's unnatural. Right. So we're about to flip the page now. Ella, flip the page. Hafi Garcinan. This is how we should read the Mishnah. Shalo almanas l'kabel pras. Not in condition to receive the reward. Right? Not in condition to receive the reward. You should just walk in and be like, if I get a reward, great. If I don't, whatever.
I just said that everyone needs a reward. You said everyone needs a reward.
No.
No, maybe that people can't... Maybe... No, meaning that's a theory that we're kicking around. But right now he's saying, there's two derechs here. You can either worship Hashem on the condition that I'm only going to do this if I totally make a t'nai, if I totally make a condition that I want zero out of this. I want zero. I want absolutely nothing. God give me no reward. There's another derech that says, that person who's talking is crazy. Do not listen to him. He's actually nuts. No one does that. You can't worship something. You can't do anything for someone with on the condition that you receive nothing. Maybe it can be nice. And say, you know, I don't expect anything. I don't expect anything. If you give me something, it's very nice. And if not, no. Right? That's more normal for people to work off of. People can't work off of, I'm bedafka not going to receive anything from you. I'm only going to even touch you if you like promise not to give me, if you promise to give me zero. Those are the two tzadim. So, right in the beginning, Shalei Hashem Mitzvah B'Shvil HaPras. Alfa Pishu Yeshu Lachshav Kishar Yeh Lo Chelef Avodato. Because in reality, even though he's going to be servicing the Kodesh Baruch Hu, not on condition to receive a reward, meaning he's going to be either way, whatever happens, because of the fact that he knows that there is schar out there, and that it could definitely come to him, it's a lot more psychologically feasible or reasonable to assume that we could have a relationship with God that way. But the condition that to only serve Hashem without receiving a reward, that's bordering on psychosis. It's like too far. It's too much.
It's okay. Not even something we should strive for.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what the Rabbeinu says the other people say. Everybody says, no, I'm right, and they're wrong. Aval nire, lo mar ki girsa says faram hu irker. No, he says, my sefer is good, the girsa I have is better. They're wrong. Sha'avoda kazu matzin b'vnei adam. Because if you think about it, this sort of service actually exists among men. Amen. Ki ha'eved miknat kaspo. Because let's say you have a slave. Now, I'm talking about, like, the nice slaves. And, like, you know, the slaves that were captured as kids or something, and, like, you go buy them. So, like, you know, the sad ones. So, like, you know, if you buy one of these slaves, okay, he literally has no life at all. In the sense that, like, there's no hope that he's going to get out. He is bought from the day that he remembers living on this earth until the day he dies, or she. They are tethered to solid for servitude to no end.
A non-Jewish slave.
Yes. I mean, but he's giving an example. Right. But halachically, it's only going to be a non-Jewish slave. I'm sure it happened to Jews too, the Gabi, the non-Jews.
Oh, this is story time. It's not halacha. Okay, my bad.
Anyway.
Example time.
Yeah, this is an example. Fine. Yeah, Miknat Kaspo. Like, for instance, he was acquired for your money. Chayev la'avod avodas rabob shlo shi'itain lo pras. That person needs to service the master, totally aside from the fact that he has to pay him. I think to give an example that might be a little bit closer to home, because we probably read this in high school in our literature classes, okay? But, like, any stories we, you know, read about African Americans. Okay?
Huck Finn.
What?
Huck Finn.
Huck Finn. Okay, kind of Huck Finn, I guess. But, like, black slaves, they were just totally servicing their master, and that was it. They got nothing out of that, okay? That was the approach that they took. So, Bidinus says, look, I mean, he didn't necessarily just have blacks that were doing this in this time. A bunch of people were bought as slaves, and that was their life. He's basically saying, listen, this sort of psychological reality is a reality. We see this. This happens. So why can't we have this relationship to God? Why can't I throw away my girsa? Why do I have to throw away my girsa? The other shram are wrong. The shram that we have here, the girsa that we have now, it's good.
You just bought a ride to the other girsa.
No, we didn't. You just bought a ride to his girsa.
You just said you don't. The same way slavery works, you don't need to have an incentive to do something for a master.
You can even worship your master on the condition that you're not going to receive a reward.
Yeah, that's against him.
Why is it against him?
That's what he says.
That's what he says. He says that you should service the master not on the condition not to receive reward.
Who's the other one?
They say that you should service the master
for
not on the condition to receive the reward.
Who said for a reward?
No one says for a reward. No one says that. Everybody says don't.
We
do
just
that.
Said it's not realistic to serve someone not for a reward. Is he explaining his own opinion?
There's two days. It's Rabbeinu Yonah and B. Okay.
Oh, okay. Am I saying B?
I think you're going back and forth. Rabbeinu Yonah says that we should service Hashem on the condition not to receive the reward. We're only going to do it if we're getting nothing out of it. B says we should service Hashem not on the condition to receive the reward. Whatever happens, happens. And what's their spar? Other stories? Because, you know,
did not get the reward or indifferent?
Indifferent. B is indifferent. Okay?
This now bringing slavery, which one is that? That's right, Rabbeinu Yonah to
correct.
Not receive a reward?
Correct, because
not a bad comparison, because Judaism is forced upon us.
Correct.
I mean, it's beautiful, but it's forced upon us.
Correct. You're jumping the gun. I mean, I shouldn't say jumping the gun. That's what he means. But you're just a step ahead of me right now. What? But
if slaves don't work, they're not going to get food. They'll get punished.
Oh, but now you asked the same question last time and brought up this conversation. Okay? Excellent. Okay? You haven't changed that much. Okay, listen. There's a difference between punishment and reinforcement.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Okay, right? You avoiding punishment is one thing. Okay, we'll talk about that. And I have a feeling that's why Vehimor Shemayim Aleichem, the very end of the Mishnah, that's why it stuck. Maybe we'll see. But here we're not talking about punishment. Here we're talking about reward. The slave, the black slave that we spoke about in our example, he's servicing out of fear of punishment. Not out of reward at all. He's really, in his mind, isn't even on reward. He just wants to make it to the next day. So it's in a way, on the surface, it should be the same here. We're servicing Hashem totally outside of the reward. We don't want to have anything to do with the reward. We just want to service Hashem because why? The Rabbeinu is going to say in the line from where we are right now, but that's the reality at the moment.
It's the highest level. I mean, reality.
Yes. This is very hard. I do not know many Millers like that. I don't know. But, like, not really a lot of people. You need to be a tzaddik. You don't just need to be a tamchach. You need to be a tzaddik, like someone who's really worked on their emotions and midos in order to get to such a level. It's hard.
Rabbi David said something that's a big deal today in his speech. It's not off topic. He just said, like, someone needs to be a tzaddik, not a tamchach. Mm-hmm. He was going off on tefillah. His whole talk today was about tefillah. Every point he brought up was to make it a chiyuv. Okay. You know, like, that's just fact. He was talking about the chiyuv, not necessarily the heart of it, the chiyuv of it. And I was trying to make it a chova, you know, obligation for everyone. But he said, like, guys learning doesn't impress him the way feel it is. He can judge a lot about a person about feeling. He used his, like, grammar that I don't understand. I don't remember necessarily. And he called learning, he said, for some people, all learning is intellectual
exercise. Yeah, sure.
Exercise.
Yeah, totally.
It's scary coming from someone with my background who everything, you know, is super religious from day one, not understanding anything. In ninth grade, you know, being religious, but like not necessarily caring too much about God, but being able to make a leaning on like a so again, it gets ironic and it gets confusing.
Right.
So like, yeah, he has a very good point there.
I would say most people that we probably all know are just in it for the intellectual kick. When you learn,
it's a turn on. Yeah, it's still a turn on.
Sure, it's a turn on. When I started learning seriously, most of it was intellectual. It was just harder than anything I did in college, and it was totally fascinating.
Do you do it for the love of God?
All the time, no. I would say all the time, definitely not. It's a level that I'm also working on, and it's hard to get to. But like you feel it when you're down, like you know you're learning. All of a sudden, you feel like you're being surrounded by like this. I'm like sorry to be like really dramatic, but like you really feel like this fire or this like hug of just like something amazing and divine, and you're just stuck and like you're not moving because you're so captivated with what you're doing, and the whole entire world doesn't exist.
It impresses you. You see the beauty and the logic in
right, and just to realize that you're in
also
a pool.
Association.
You're
spend an entire day doing something for religion. You start caring about religion more for no logical reason.
So like also like, you'll see these people learning like they're doing like this really crazy like you know like their whole like it's like if you want to concentrate you feel like that's not the best way to do it, but it's because they can't control themselves, like they're so. Unless they have like really serious ADHD. So there's like the really serious ADHD people, okay? And then there's people like they're so into it, like they're living it. Like they just can't control themselves. Okay, anyway, let's go fight there. Avanir Loma Kigirs is from Kinika Shura. Okay, fine. Gam Ken Yeshlo La Adam Labo that Hashem Amanash Lilakaba process is his kicker. So therefore, yeah, men should service Hashem on the condition not to receive a prize. You should optimally.
His example isn't like it's not a very good example because
how so?
If the slave was offered, or he knew there would be a reward.
On the table.
If the slave knew there would be a reward, he would go for it 100%. He's not saying to the master, I don't want a reward.
Correct. He's saying that it's a reality. Meaning, the other Sfarim are claiming that it's not possible. You will not be able to have such a relationship. You'll either kill yourself, or you won't do it. So, Rabbi Yonah says... And that's not true, because in society we find that. So push yourself, try to be that. That's all we're saying. It's just the reality. So that's optimally how our relationship be with Hashem. So, but why? Now he says, so why would you do it? If you're not going to do it for any reward, why would you do it? Okay? Ela pepnei chesed shigmalu kvar. What you said. Oh no! Wait, who is mechaving to the
shigmalu kvar? What does it mean?
To Rabbi Karlbach. Okay, so these nine says what you said. Okay?
I'll take his credit,
though. Okay? You should be servicing Kodesh Baruch Hu because of the kindness that he did to you beforehand. And also, Malas Harav Shehu Roy Lekach. Vezoti Avodat Hashem Abba. And also you should service Hashem because of his masterfulness, which is appropriate that someone should be serving to him in this manner. And this is what we call Ava Avoda from love. Apparently, I had a lot to write here, because I wrote a lot here, but I didn't know that, so I didn't review my notes. I just reviewed the Mishnah, because I didn't see this edition, because this is the only edition with my writing in it. Anyway. Okay. So this is what we're saying. There, it's a two-faceted thing. Okay? You service HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you are so thankful for the things that happened before. Okay? You're so thankful that you're alive. Now, I would say, on a small level, that is a reward. You feel really good about thanking Hashem. But it's as close as you're going to get to no reward possible. So Rabbeinu Yonah is being meduyuk, but I think we could all say that there is some sort of a teeny bit of reward going on
here. You have to apply this to mankind.
Right, meaning when you worship Hashem for reward, you're thinking of the car, the Olam Haba, the nice wife, the money. Like, you have something in mind. When you worship Hashem, and the egoism okay, that comes out of that is you feeling good because you're giving someone gratitude, that's not enough to say
it's
that
not
you're...
For
what?
That is not is for reward.
Right.
That is.
No.
That's not enough to say that's not.
It's not enough to say... No, what I'm saying is that worshipping Hashem for that emotion is not servicing that emotion. In the beginning we said, the reason why you can't serve Hashem for a reward, or why you shouldn't, ultimately, because you're really servicing the reward. This is a reward that's so far removed from a physical manifestation or a manifestation of bliss, okay, like Olam Haba, okay, that it's enough for us to say that even when you're servicing Hashem just to feel like that you gave someone gratitude, it's not enough to say that you're servicing Hashem for that. Meaning you don't feel tethered to that. Okay, I'm not saying this very well. It's very difficult to get this thought across. Does anybody understand what I'm saying?
No.
Okay.
Repeat yourself, though.
Let me just try to... Okay. Hi.
Hi.
Let's say you're God.
Okay.
You're not, but let's say you are. Okay? So, I can service you for your phone. Chas v'shalom. Okay? Well, I want your phone. So, the second I have your phone, I don't care about you at all. So, it's that simple. Now I can service you as a slave to a master just to feel good that I did something for you.
After the fact that you took his phone?
No. That way, regardless. Totally regardless. Okay? Take in those two cases. In the first case, when I'm worried about your phone, my eye is on the phone. I'm worshiping the phone. I'm not really worshiping you. In the second case, the manifestation of my happiness from worshiping you is not enough to distract the intentions.
Saying the focus is still on God as opposed to the reward.
Thank you. Yes,
but it doesn't transfer once the goal has been accomplished.
Yeah, but the thing is that what I'm saying isn't simple. You have to think about this for a second because it doesn't necessarily make sense at a glance. Because you could say, no, I'm really sure I'm really servicing Hashem for the emotion. But I feel this is not something that you can explain to somebody else. They feel it for a moment. That's what I'm trying to say. You worshiping Hashem for that emotion is really not servicing Hashem for. Is really not servicing the emotion. It's really servicing Hashem. If you service Hashem for the phone, like if you think about why am I servicing Hashem, you'll see the phone. You'll understand that you're going for the phone. When you're servicing Hashem because you really like feeling that level of gratitude. You don't really think about the gratitude so much. I feel like the main picture is God. Does anybody... So now I think I got the point across. Do people feel what I'm saying?
This is a great topic.
Yeah, I think so.
Now, I have a question.
Do you feel it, though? Maybe you don't feel it. Like, if you think about it, do you feel the same way?
About God?
No.
Or in general? Do I know that feeling?
Yes. Does that feeling make sense? If you imagine worshiping Hashem just to feel good, do you see that feeling good aspect, or do you see God first? Like, what's...
It's almost like they're just part of one, as opposed to a phone
which is
separate.
Okay, good. Fine, so you really see what I'm saying. Good.
Without a goal. I have a problem with this.
Right, but before you do, and bring up the problem, this is totally, totally beautiful, in my opinion. Because I think it's megala to you a lot about also how relationships are going to go. Okay?
Well, we're the first one in the relationship.
Okay, whoa, one second. I had a conversation last night, and I called up the Rabbi Meiselman. I'm not sure if anybody knows that.
From
is. Yeah.
So yeah, he and my dad are very close.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I was going to go to him for Shabbos. Unfortunately, he's having surgery at the Shabbos. Yes, unfortunately. Mm. But the Rebbe said, and I, she just asked me, she's like, you know, I'm going to ask you a question. What? No, my brother does this, so I try to go to... Right, so I go by Rabbi Meiselman, yeah. No, I mean, he comes to visit here.
He comes to Shabbos, he came here.
Yeah, he comes to visit. So, what was I saying? So, Rabbi Meiselman says, I don't understand what it is about... She brought these two things up in the same sentence. About why people are just getting divorced all the time, and men are being caught doing things they shouldn't be doing, and why also technology is such a big issue. So...
That's like all one thing.
Right, that's all one thing. And I was like... And I, like, you know, like, she didn't really connect the dots, which... Because she's so out of that. But, like, you know, I connect the dots for us as well. You know, when physicality is so much of your relationship that, like, your relationship is for the physicality, then, like, it really opens up the door to a lot of issues. So I would say, and I'm starting to make this, like, so crass, but if you have a relationship to your wife because you're thinking about that end result, whatever's going to happen at night, you're thinking about that. You're not really thinking about your wife.
You could trick yourself.
What?
You could trick yourself.
I don't think you can. Not if you're thinking about
it. Not in the long run, you can't?
Mm-mm. I think if someone's honestly thinking about it, I don't think you can trick yourself. Because right. That's what you'll see. Like, you'll see that prize, and that's what you're going to want, and, like, that's all of a sudden how your relationship is going to be defined. Okay? But if you think about your wife and say, I want my wife just to be happy, your wife all of a sudden will be the forefront of the relationship, even though you just want that happiness out of it. Do you hear what I'm trying to say? And that really changes the entire relationship. And I really feel that makes a big chiluk in marriage relationship, like romantic relationships. And again, also, I don't think in boss relationships that's going to make so much of a difference. Because quite frankly, I don't think that matters so much. I think it's okay to go to work just to kind of get the money. Optimally, maybe not, but I think it's healthy enough. Okay? But in terms of a romantic relationship, I think this is like a really big deal. I think you should be looking at a really romantic relationship as, I want to be in this relationship, even if it's shallow enough to be like, because I really want to feel good and then I'm making someone else feel happy. But you're always going to be focused on another person's happiness. Like, that's a really great way to walk the relationship versus, I really want to sleep with this person, so, you know, that's going to be why I'm a servicing relationship. Like, it's a totally different ballgame. And as you said, you know, you can't separate the happiness from the person. But when your wife is just like, you know, a bag of meat, you can do whatever you want to. Like, so it doesn't even need to be your wife. It's just like this thing. You know what I'm trying to say? So I think you're 100% right. Yes?
What did that relate to?
That everything we just said.
So that was just in the practical application of a manifestation of this in our life.
I think marriage.
Okay.
I think romantic relationship. Yeah. What's it? Also, listen.
What is that? We have to be careful about what are
your focus.
Okay. Can I bring up my problem now? Because it's still right.
Okay.
On topic.
Do you want me to give you an example
huh?
of someone like something that actually happened that's related to this? Okay.
Honestly, if it's a good story, yeah. But if you're just doing it to help me understand it, no, because the concept is where you explained it very well to me. But if it's a good story, tell us.
It's a good story, but I'm going to let you go, because if you get it, then I don't want to waste time, yeah.
We just established it's very clear to know what our intent is.
I think it's clear. I'm saying that. The Binyun is saying, let me tell you what a pure intention is. I'm telling you, yeah, and by the way, I think all of you can really figure out what your true intentions are if you think about something honestly.
That's what I have a problem with.
You don't like what I said.
I don't think people can figure it out a lot of the time.
If they can,
it's
if they can.
That's true.
I think we can always speculate that there's ulterior motive.
Physical.
Yeah, I think
if you always suspect an ulterior motive, then you can never truly know why you do things.
I disagree. I think if someone's honest with themselves, meaning if someone has a 5-second attention span, which a lot of people do now, it's going to be pretty darn hard. But I think if someone thinks about it for a few minutes, you really know why you're doing something. And if you're not smart enough to figure that out, then this process of elimination, okay, what if I remove this from the situation? Let's say I wasn't going to get the $500.
That's what it's on. But I was about to say, anything physical I could think of, that there's a physical incentive for me to do something, then I can always try to separate that. Like, what if I didn't get the prize, right? Would all other meaningful things be worth it to me? But I'm speculating, because there is that thing.
So imagine that it's gone.
Huh?
Imagine that it's gone.
But, like, you know what I mean? It's hard for me to be honest with myself when it's not gone.
I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not saying it's like, super easy. But I'm saying it's far within the realm of... I think it's
very psychological.
Only if it's in a very, very, chas v'shalom, someone's, not shomer negiah with, this girl.
Okay.
And they're doing tons of stuff. It's really hard to separate that out, okay? But when it's like, you know,
girls
why?
Are definitely the hardest.
Right, because you're addicted a little bit. But
also
when it's,
because it's more mentally
fine, but
stimulating. So
sure, your entire brain is
more than
a car. For sure, right? Exactly.
The car serves a purpose.
Exactly.
So
but if it was like, okay, you know,
physical as
you know, I love driving this guy around because I get to drive around his Ferrari. I think it's really easy to tell why you're driving this guy around. You hear what I'm saying? Like,
right, girls are the only thing that I can think of.
Right, but I still think if someone is really honest about even in the realm of girls or drugs. Huh?
That's the most important one, as we just established.
Yeah, I personally think so. I think there's room to disagree. I personally don't think so. You're free to disagree. And again, I do think there is room to disagree, but I don't know. That makes more sense to me. But yeah, difficulty would arise in drugs or girls. Okay? Drugs or girls, that would be hard to separate out. But again, I think if you really think about it, then yeah. Because girls are an addiction. You gotta
there's
read,
something
you
Gamkein
Yishlo La'adam La'avod Tashem. Right? Okay, then how about the second thing? So number one, you have to serve Hashem because of the kindness that He did to you before, and we explained that that's part of God Himself, Kiyo. This is really fascinating, and this, I think, is as far away as the phone example that you're going to get. Okay? You should serve Hashem because it's appropriate for him to get that. This is really hard to explain to people. Okay? And I'm not sure even I fully get it, to be honest with you. And I've read this mission more than once. But there's this... when my Rebbe comes in, or if a big gadol walk comes in, all of a sudden, I'm like freaked out a little bit. Like, because that person is a really, really honorable person. And all of a sudden, like, I'm like almost meshubbed to that person. Like I'm really nervous around them, and like, I open the door for that person automatically, even though I get nothing out of it. And trust me, I'm not feeling good when I open up the door. I'm scared. I almost want to die. Okay? So like, you know, I mean, the experience is enlightening, because I get to watch how someone who thinks about literally every step they take, what they do, or almost every step, I'm going to say literally, almost every step, about what that reveals a lot. But the only reason why I'm servicing this person is because it is appropriate for them to get this sort of service. So there's also an idea of servicing Hashem because he deserves it.
Respecting and appreciating.
Appreciating the, people use this word way too much, awesome. Like people say pizza is awesome. Pizza is not awesome, okay? Something that is awesome means it's awe-inspiring. It is awesome. It's trepidation. Hashem is awesome. Like really awesome, okay? So when you realize how awesome he is, it is so appropriate for him to only have this sort of service. It is only proper for me to give that to him. Now that's really separated from Rosh and a lot. I think that's the closest you're going to get to getting Hashem to be like that main sort of thing without any alternative to the Rosh. Does that all make sense? Everybody on the same page now? This is really, really hard to explain. This mission is really tough in my opinion. But I think we're doing okay. What about you think we're doing okay also?
I'm just thinking.
He gives me a B minus, I can tell from that face. Anyway. Anyway.
You're giving him a B minus, you can tell by your face.
Vizotia Bodhis Hashem Me'avon.
At least pretend to like him.
Yeah.
It's okay. And this is servicing a Kadosh Baruch Hu out of Abba. This is true love. Okay? Notice how he defined love as far away as possible as receiving a reward. Love is something where you almost don't expect reward. It's as far away as possible. When you have a relationship, when you're so not interested in the reward, that is Ahava. Okay? Good. Shenemar v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. There's a commandment in the Torah. You have to love Hashem. Yes, and it's not just the Hasidic thing. This is like for real. I mean, not the Hasidic isn't for real, but
we got you.
Okay, I didn't say anything. The Torah song. You have to love Hashem. You have to love Hashem. That is a mitzvah. This is something that you should all be thinking about. I mean, like religiously, you guys should be meditating over this every once in a while. This should bother you. You really need to find a way to love Hashem. I think I just gave you the formula on how to do that. Because I think it's really hard to love Hashem because he's so separated from you because you don't see him anywhere. You have to train yourself to see him. That takes a lot of work. But I'm going to bring you, if you really focus, meditate a lot on every single thing you have and who gave that to you, that'll help generate love. And that should really be one of the reasons why you service. Again, the reason why we love our parents is because they pay for our stuff. On a very basic level, it's the same way why a bear loves a cub. Okay? Is because there's a biological connection. Okay? A bear will eat someone else's cub if they're bothering them, no connection, but for their cub, for some reason, they care about it. Okay? Even as much of a biological connection.
It's not a value for life, that's not what it is.
Exactly. It's just the connection, it's a biological connection. So Notre Dame does not just have this connection with you on a quasi-biological level. I want to say, because you're in Shemus from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but look at everything you have down to the button on your shirt. God gave that to you. If you really meditate on that, like seriously, like not like, oh, that's so nice. Like if you really think about like what could have gone wrong in your life, it'll help that fire a little bit. Okay? Fighter.
The big question.
Yeah, and what is this Ava, this love that is whole amongst men? Harotse the Shamish La Ohavo Mipne Ahavaso Oto Miyam Hakadmonim. It's the person who wants to service his friend, have a relationship with his friend, and he only wants to service his friend because of the kindness that he did to him before. Not in the future. Not now, but before. That is true love. Okay? It has nothing to do with physicality. It has nothing to do with X, Y, Z. It has to do with the kindness that the person did for you before. That is true love. Sir Bernione told you before. There's no such thing as unconditional love. It doesn't exist. It's fake. I think without the Bernione, you should know this. But Bernione was smart, extremely smart. He was nice enough to tell you before. There's no such thing as love that is unconditional. Yes? Okay.
You brought up that. But what I think, tell me if I'm right, one thing that you'd be implying is that since the only things in the past are what matter, now we can make a better cheshbon. We can, like if we're trying to figure out whether we really love God or not, whether we really love anything, or even something physical or not, but I guess more towards God.
Come in.
If we're trying to figure that out, now if it's something in the future, there are a million of incentives to love God. And we could always have another ulterior motive. Mm-hmm. But if something in the past is an ulterior motive. Mm.
Right. Okay.
Future has okay motives, past doesn't.
Right. Exactly. No. You're right. Okay. Proper observation.
So that dissolves the whole problem I had.
Correct. 100%. 100%. You're on the ball. Don't worry. You're good. Okay. Next week we will finish this Mishnah. There's only a line left, but I want to say it out. Don't forget this Mishnah. I'm not going to review it again. I've already done that once, okay? You should be reviewing it 101 times on your own, okay? Now, the next Mishnah is, just so you know, I'm just telling you, it's going to be a little bit fun. The next Mishnah after that is going to make all of you want to kill me, but at the same time, it'll be really controversial and really, it's probably the most controversial
stuff
I've done
so
far.
So kill you if it's controversial?
At first you want to kill me. First you want to kill me. I have a feeling that it's going to be one or you two that are really going to get me. I'm afraid it's going to be you. I'm really afraid of
you. Why? Because you're sitting closer?
No, because like, I can tell that... I don't know. I can just tell that like he's going to like you know start choking me. No, because he's like... You know how he's, like, he's quiet? Like he's just weird. And he has a knife in there. So
ready to pounce.
Okay, shkayach, everybody.